here we are. Ever had this happen in church? Anybody do this from the pulpit? I've never seen this happen from the pulpit. Ready? Never heard that before. Thanks, Mike. It's seltzer water, by the way, just in case we need some clarification. I just realized that. That's funny. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight. We'll start with Proverbs chapter 1, I guess, is a good place to start. We're not going to do the whole thing. One of the interesting things about having different people speak, preach, teach, whatever it is, you get their view of the same topic from their perspective. As my daughter would say, their perspection. If we had something sitting out here in the middle of the floor and we all looked at it and we all described it, we could all be looking at the same thing, and because we're looking at it from a different angle, we're all still right, largely, in our just casual observation of that. And so when Mike gets up here, or anybody gets up here and speaks, for me, part of the interest is how they got to that point, why they think the way they think, why they find emphasis in the places they find emphasis, and it's just interesting to me. Tim Shanks used to always have how he got lost story or how he ran out of gas story, and it was always interesting how he resolved the 14th gas of tank of gas he ran out of, and it was just interesting how their take, their life's experience, their journey through this world has impacted the way they live, the way they make decisions, their application of Scripture. And I thought tonight I would kind of go through a process that I kind of go through to get where I get, to think the way I think, to get to the decisions that I make. Not because mine are better, but a number of people have commented on me, how did you get there? And so partially tonight, you're going to see how I get there on something that's really kind of simple. I work in the healthcare industry. So topics about anything on that matter are interesting to me, largely interesting to me. Whether I believe them or not, like them or not, agree with them or not, they're interesting. And it kind of started right after I got out of school, met Sharon. Sharon's folks were on the lifelong pursuit of health, whatever that means, right? They would buy every supplement in the world. They would read every article in the world. They would try this and do that. And he was in. I love that sound. I love that sound. And he gave me some information at some point and made me kind of go, that's interesting. And of course, when you first get something off the beaten path, you immediately want to dismiss it because you don't think that way and it's odd and it's weird. And yet it kind of just like, I'd never thought of that before. And that led to the next thing. It was kind of the first opening of the door of a different way of thinking. Now, did I agree with it? I don't even know what it was. I could probably guess, but I don't really know what it was. And what that did is it kind of opened my mind to just, I don't know. And at that time in my life, I didn't have a TV. One time I got out of college, I didn't have a TV in college. Got out, didn't have a TV before I got married, didn't have a TV after we got married, and it was until we had kids before we had a TV. So it wasn't a long period of time without a TV. And back then, there was no internet. There were no cell phones. What you had was TV or the radio. That's pretty much it. And magazines and articles and stuff like that, or subscriptions. So I listened to a lot of AM radio and talk radio, to be honest. And talk radio back then was ubiquitous and all over the map, not unlike what podcasts are today. And you can find a topic on anything. And I can remember pulling into my driveway one night And as I was pulling into my driveway over in Alloa, I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about two adult men were on the phone with the host of the radio show, and they were talking about the moon landing. And I couldn't believe that two grown men could rationally talk about how we didn't land on the moon. I thought that was stupid. I couldn't believe that grown men could think that. And I said, this is compelling radio. This is stupid, but this is compelling radio. I sat through the commercial break in my car, in my driveway, turned off until they came back. And I don't know how long I listened to it, but I listened to three grown men talk about how we didn't land on the moon. And I thought, these are wackadoos. And then somebody said something that wasn't too wackadoo-ish and thought, well, that kind of makes sense. And I thought, well, how could, and then, and little by little by little, thank you. It means a lot. Amen. And little by little by little, I let myself listen to this argument about how we didn't land on the moon, which led to the next argument of how, another time, how the earth is flat. Which led to another one about Bigfoot,
Sure.
right? And I have, on all three of those issues, I've largely made up my mind on all three of those. But you know what? I'll listen to you talk about your evidence for Bigfoot. I kind of don't think there's a Bigfoot. But if you drive around the Pacific Northwest, there's Bigfoot statues in people's yards, and there's Bigfoot Realty and Bigfoot Auto Care, and it's everywhere. So there's this underlying belief, if you will, in Bigfoot. I'll listen. I'm not a Bigfoot believer, right? I'll listen to flat earthers. I can't get there. Even though a lot of their arguments make sense, I'm not going to be compelled on the flat earth. However, on the moon landing, I'm not a moon landing believer. I'm just not. Now, you may have evidence that could compel me and believe otherwise, but in 1969, folks, we didn't get there in my book. Now, that's just me. If you believe in the moon landing and Neil Armstrong and one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind, and I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't dislike or like you any more or less.
Bigfoot landed on the moon.
There you go. But that was my initial opening my mind up to, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm fine with I don't know most of the time.
Yeah.
There's stuff I don't need to know. I don't need to know if there's Bigfoot or not. That doesn't change anything in my life if there's Bigfoot or isn't. If the earth is, well, the earth is flat, might matter. But really, even if the earth is flat, this sounds stupid, it really doesn't change the way I live.
No.
Doesn't change how I relate with Dale or Bob. And I pointed at you and I couldn't remember your name. I'm sorry. It'll come to me in a minute. Hang on, Joanne. It'll come to me in a minute, Joanne. And so to build these two ideas together, back in the late 80s and early 90s, we used to believe that butter was bad and vegetable oil was good. We don't anymore. So where's the truth? And so it was something as fundamental as that that made me realize the truth is here, right? So this is the part that I know is true. So if I have a belief about something that has some reference to scripture, it kind of has to start here, right? I don't know if I'm better off buying a Kenworth or a Peterbilt because scripture doesn't teach that. So I can't open up to Hezekiah chapter 7 and see all the qualifications of a Peterbilt driver. It's not there. So how do you take decisions and ideas in 2025 that aren't specifically outlined in Scripture and make scriptural decisions on stuff that isn't there. And tonight I want to go through some Proverbs and get to, let me back it up one more thing. So about a year, I don't know how long ago, a few months ago, somebody was here and they were talking about light, and they were comparing light to darkness, and there's an ongoing discussion in Western medicine about the values of light therapy and sun exposure. And depending upon which pile of experts you believe, the sun is bad and horrible and it should be avoided at all costs, that you should slather yourself in man-made chemicals to prevent UV light from penetrating your skin. You should cover up and wear zinc on your face and get a hat and wear opaque clothing all the time because the sun is bad and evil and nasty and it's going to kill you. That's the extreme over here. And then there's people that don't care in the middle. And then there's people on the other end that think there are large values to light therapy and their variation and how much light and sun you should be exposed to and when and how long and all that other stuff. Where's the truth? And so I thought, well, what does the Bible say about the sun? S-U-N. What did I do? I ran a search for S-U-N. As I recall, there were 150, 60, 70 references to that word.
Wow.
I took all 150 or 60 or 70 references of those and I put them in and just copy and pasted them into a document. And then just read them individually and then read them in context to see, okay, what does the word sun mean in this verse? What does it mean in this verse? What does it mean in this verse? And I largely categorized them into three things. And I didn't start out by creating categories. I said, this sounds like this is a mention of time. So we'll put it in here. Is this a time mention? Oh, it must be over here. And over a while, I sorted this out into three columns that largely fit what that verse meant. With one exception, I excluded all the verses in Ecclesiastes where Solomon said everything under the sun because he repeated it over and over and over, and it was a bias that was bigger than the rest of them. So I just took that out of my study and took those out and just said, okay, this isn't part of my study because it didn't fit the idea of what is the function of the sun with respect to the human condition. And so I largely divided those up into three things. One of them was, and I don't remember what three topics were, but I tried to go, okay, what is the function of the sun? What does the Bible say about the function of the sun? What does it do? What is it related to? So I took all this column out, which were references to time, I think. And then I took out the other references, I think, to being just a celestial being or glob in the sky or something. Or maybe there was, and I just tried to get it down to thirds. And I largely did that with two exceptions. There were two verses that compared S-U-N with S-O-N. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, that's a specific item altogether, so I'll move that out. And I got down to this column of about 20 or 30 verses because they were thirds, and I think it ended up being like 100 or 120. So it's 30 or 40 verses. And they were pretty balanced into thirds, not exactly. But I concentrated on that third that talked about the sun's function, what it does, what its value is, its power, the fact that it's light, that it gives life, and all of that other stuff. And I read over and over and over. And of those, I'm just going to say 35. I don't remember what the number was, but it was 30-something. All of them but two spoke of good or beneficial or powerful or enhancing virtues of the S-U-N. There were two verses that talked about how the sun caused plants to wither. So if nearly all of the verses in the Bible about the sun are just generally good, the idea that we would completely avoid the sun, in my opinion, doesn't line up with Scripture. But there has to be value in the sun, and there has to be value to sun exposure. Now, I could come over here and begin to scientifically tell you all the values of what light does to the human body, because it's interesting to me. I'll go so far as to say, I purpose every day that the sun is out in the summer to expose myself to tons of sunlight as much as I can. to much of Sharon's chagrin. I know when solar noon is every day. I get out in the sun every day that I'm off, even at work. I take a break at solar noon and go outside and shove a chair up against the building where nobody can see me and take my shirt off and get some sun as often and as much as I can, because I believe it's good for you. But then I thought, and I did that because of Scripture and because of what else I knew, but what else I knew was backed up by Scripture. There's a lot of stuff that I know that isn't backed up by Scripture. There's not a lot of Scripture that talks about guns. So my opinion of guns isn't backed up in Scripture. But yet it's knowledge. And I thought, okay, what does the Bible really say about our health and our physical bodily health? And it's surprisingly not very specific. And I'm going to reference a couple of verses tonight. And the reason I did this is there's a lot of people out there that will claim to teach scriptural health, and they don't have a lot of scripture behind it. And so part of this study for me was, what does the Bible say about this? And all I'm going to do tonight, because I'm going to preach again next Sunday night, and I'll probably drill down a little further on some of these, but I'm going to just get you to where I got and let you understand how I think through this process and read through a couple of scriptures here, a bunch of scripture actually, and help you understand how we can sort out what it's talking about. Is this physical? Is this a metaphor? Is this a reference to something else? What does this really mean? And a lot of times you'll read that and you go, I don't know what that means. And you're going to hear me say that. I don't know what that means quite a bit.
All right.
So I want you to turn to Proverbs. Oh, here's where we get Proverbs, where we're going to be. But there's a couple of verses in Proverbs we're going to start with. And there was a verse in Proverbs that I remember. And there was I remember, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You ever heard that phrase? Health to thy, that's Proverbs chapter 3. So let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 3. And so we'll read that to start. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8. Proverbs 3 verse 8, once you're there, we'll read this, and it says that exactly. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. Let's start with the first word, it. What is it? Well, if we back up, maybe that pronoun will be referenced by the previous verse, so we'll know what it is. Let's go to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Well, what is it? Fear and depart. Are those what you're getting? Is fear and depart? Is it?
Yeah.
I largely would agree with that. Yeah. If we back up the two verses in front of that, these are common verses we've said 100 million times. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Period. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And then it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Well, those are still going together, right? That could be the same paragraph. That fits, right? There's not a big break there between 6 and 7. Okay, let's go up to 4. So thou shalt find favor in... Okay, that's not helping. Let's go up to verse 3. Let not... Okay, that's good. Well, let's just go all the way back up to verse 2, verse 1. Matter of fact, let's just go all the way back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, and I'm going to make a... I want you to see, this is Solomon writing and speaking. Solomon chapter 1, verse 10. My son, so he's speaking or writing to his son. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up the voice for understanding, if thou seekest her like silver, and searchest her for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge. Oh. So here we're seeking knowledge, and through that seeking we'll understand the fear of the Lord. Okay, that ties in over to verse chapter 3. Chapter 3, my son, forget not thy law. Chapter 4, hear ye children the instruction of the Father. Here he is instructing his son. This one he's instructing his children. If you go down into verse or chapter 4 a ways, you get down to verse 10, chapter 4. Hear, O my son. Verse 20, chapter 4. My son, attend to my words. Chapter 5. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to understanding. Chapter 6, verse 1. My son. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words. Chapter 8. We take these words and we take it a step further. Chapter 8, we start talking about wisdom. And if you look, just glance down through chapter 8, just see how many times the word wisdom comes across or receive instruction. All the words of it. Chapter 9, wisdom hath builded her house. Chapter 10, a wise son. So now we've brought together wisdom and his son. So clearly we can look in these first 10 chapters of Proverbs and see a couple of very obvious themes. You don't have to be a rocket surgeon to see that. Right? So if we go over, and then one more reference to the, so we, this started off in chapter 3, verse 8, and it says, shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What is health to thy navel? What is the significance of navel? Why is there a comparison between a navel and bones? Why is health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones? What does that mean? Ooh, I could think of a couple things, but that's me saying that. I know what marrow does in the bones. I think it's interesting that, and I'll toss this in, blood is made from your marrow. Right. And the guy that wrote that probably didn't know that. I don't think Solomon knew where red blood cells were. I don't think Solomon Blue knew what red blood cells were. Yet, it's mentioned there, marrow to thy... It's just interesting. Chapter 16, verse 24. Let's go read this one real quick. Health to thy marrow... I'm sorry, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to thy bones. Is it marrow to thy bones, or is it health to thy bones? Okay, so there's a difference here between these two verses, isn't there? So if there's a difference, that means it's not a simple A to B equals C to D. It's not that simple. So this simple understanding here is way bigger than that. Pleasant words, health to thy bones. And chapter 3, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The reason I brought these two verses out, there's only 17 verses in the Bible that use the word health. And of those 17, only 3 or 4 or 5 of them even remotely refer to health as a bodily position or health as a physical bodily description. So if they only show up 2 or 3 times in Scripture and they refer to a bodily description, then what is being said about them? If we want to be healthy, in our modern definition of healthy, and the Bible only talks about it a couple of times, maybe our understanding of modern healthy isn't healthy. Maybe we've co-opted that word. Maybe we've changed the name of that word to mean something else. So what I want to do is I want to read through Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to read down to that verse, verse 22. And I'm going to read that now. For they are life, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Ooh, okay, this is one of the few times flesh in the Bible refers to very few things, but it certainly refers to your physical bodily flesh. And clearly, that's the use of this word here. And health to all their flesh. So what is health to all their flesh? For they, in verse 22, what is they? Well, let's go up to verse 21. Let not them, oh, we're still using pronouns here, so we got to get back to the nouns, right? My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Oh, my word, this gets confusing. How do words incline thine ear to my saying? So these are spoken words in verse 20. In verse 21, let them, which are the words, not depart from thine eyes. How do words not depart from your eyes? I don't know. Would you have to read them? What does that mean? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Semicolon. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Oh, you can't keep words in your heart if you use the definition of heart as that physical pumping organ in your body. So clearly he's not talking about the physical pumping organ in your body. So it means something else. For they are life. What is life? Is this life and death? No. Because we know that evil, nasty people are alive. So it can't mean just simple. Okay, let's just go back to the first verse of chapter 4 and start reading through this. And this is sometimes how I drill down on stuff. I go, this doesn't make common sense. Frequently referred to Proverbs, a lot of this stuff will just stand alone. It's deep, it's thick, it's rich, but at the same time, it's very simple. So a third grader could read this and get the simple truths off the top, and they'd largely be right. But when you drill down on it, you go, that doesn't make simple sense anymore. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. Here, so clearly, Solomon is speaking. Hear ye children. So he's speaking to more than one person. I understand. Now think about this for a moment. Is if Solomon, I mean, these first 10 chapters, Solomon's instructing his son or his children. I showed you that already. He's instructing them by his words. He's probably speaking because he says here, and a little further down, you'll realize that he was speaking when he said this. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Okay, this is the first word in this paragraph. This is what this chapter is going to be about. It's going to be about hearing and instruction and understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. If we went back to chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but keep thine heart, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Oh, my word. Okay, so you read verse 2, chapter 3, for length of days and long life. Those are two separate concepts. If you glance over that, for length of days and long life. Okay, if I just said that, would most of you think that's the same thing? I did when I casually read that, length of days and long life. That's just basically re-saying the same thing twice. But a length of a day is different than the length of your life. So they're different. I don't know what it means. It's just that they're different. Let's keep going, right? And for peace shall they add to thee. What adds to thee? Well, keeping my commandments. These are Solomon's commandments to his children. Let's get back to chapter 4. Still talking to his children, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was, why is verse 3 in here? Read this with me. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Can you picture for a minute? They're having dinner. Solomon's got at least two of his kids at dinner. One of them is his son, because we realize he talks to his son here. Maybe multiple sons. I don't know who's at this dinner. But he's instructing his children, it says in verse 1. If you could just picture him sitting down, when would you sit down and instruct your children over a meal? When else would you really be alone? Because they weren't in the car going somewhere. When would he do that? Would he call them together in a meeting? Maybe, I don't know. But he's doing this. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Why did he reference David and Bathsheba there? I don't know. But he could be saying, this is what my parents taught me. And this is what my parents wanted my grandkids to know. There's a reference there for a reason. Right? Why did he put that in there? He taught me also. That's David. David taught me, Solomon also, and said unto Solomon, can we put the nouns in here so we can keep it straight? He taught, David taught me also, and said unto Solomon, let thine heart retain David's words, keep David's commandments, and live. What does the word live mean here? This doesn't mean if you don't commit his, keep his commandments, you're going to die. It's an abundant life. It's not simple death versus life. As we read through this, and I'm going to go a little faster now, as we read through this, I want you to pay attention to just common human things that make us human. I wrote down this list. Compare the words live and life as we read through this, because we're going to aim for verse 22. As we read through this, I want you to pay attention to the words live and life and references to the common human experience, like eating and drinking and walking and sleeping and running and light and darkness. I want you to just... Solomon is explaining, and as he approaches verses 22, we get to this word health. And it encompasses this whole chapter of instruction, of wisdom, of teaching, of understanding, and that is the basis of the human bodily healthy experience. And he outlines it in detail. And as you go through this, I want you to read and pay attention to all the words that reference the simple human experience and how he fits those in there. And ask yourself, why does he use these words? Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. To get wisdom, you have to do it. You have to go get wisdom. You don't receive wisdom, you get wisdom. You receive a gift, you don't get a gift. You don't earn a gift, you don't strive for a gift. It is given to you. So this getting... And we're going to get to it. Forsake her not, verse 6, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. This getting, this understanding, this wisdom is an active process that you have to do. Amen. If you want this, you have to get it. You don't receive it in as much as it's handed to you. It's something that you have to go find and get.
Right.
And now he's talking about wisdom. Exalt her, that's wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's what getting this wisdom is about. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Oh, I don't know what that means. I mean, I can read that and I understand these words. And I could, verse 10, hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. He does this twice in this chapter, and I can just, there's a part of this as I read this, where Solomon's sitting there, he's got his favorite son or sons or daughters there, and he's being real and reverent and sincere, and you can just see this here, comma, oh my son, please listen to this, okay? Not like I'm begging you, but guys, this is important. He says this twice. Verse 11, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right paths. Okay, when thou goest, thy steps, here he's talking about doing again, and now he's talking about walking. Thy steps shall be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Another common human experience, running and walking. Why does he use this to describe this? So the first step into gaining understanding and wisdom is you have to be instructed. Verse 13, take hold fast of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Three different references to obtaining, gaining, procuring, absconding, getting this, whatever verb you want to use here. Take fast hold of instruction. I thought about this. What's the difference between taking fast hold, not letting it go, and keeping her? Three different descriptors of the same thing about that's how important this is. And I thought, what if instruction, let's call a wild animal instruction. Let's call this wild animal instruction that's not dangerous to you. It's this elusive creature that if you can get instruction, it's a cure for cancer. It's rare. This little creature of instruction is rare. And if you can get just five hairs off their left paw and take it twice a day, you'll never get cancer. Okay? So I'm going to get this instruction for sure. And so you set up your trail cams and you're going to go get this instruction. And you finally get a hold of instruction. You're going to take, what's it say? Take fast hold. Oh my goodness. I've got this now. What's the next step? Don't let it go. Mm-hmm. But after you have it, and after you don't let it go, now you have to keep it. And just like Adam was instructed to keep the garden, the woman is instructed to keep the home. This keeping requires attention and care. That's how important this is. And I find it interesting that he goes that far to describe how important instruction is. Instruction is something you have to get. You have to pursue it. It doesn't come to you. You have to go get it. And when we're talking about your health, that's what we're going to get to in verse 22. It's something you have to go get. It's not just going to accidentally come to you. So that's the getting. Take hold. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Can I read this to you two different ways? Watch this. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. I'm going to change this for fun, not to be irreverent. Enter not into the way of the wicked, and go not into the path of evil men. How come it's written this way and not this way? I don't know. But it's written that way. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. It is so detrimental to you that he says how many different ways? Enter not, go not, avoid it, pass not, turn away, pass away. Seven different ways he says, don't. Now the reference to sleep. What's this for? They sleep not. What sleeps not? The wicked and the evil man. interesting as we drill down on this premise of health, that we talk about hearing, we talk about walking and going, and now we talk about how to sleep. Why is there a reference to sleep here? And their sleep is taken away. Wickedness and the way of the evil man taketh away. I'm not saying that if you don't get sleep, you're wicked or evil. And I'm not saying if you're wicked or evil, you're not going to get sleep. But I find it fascinating that this reference is here. There is something about sleep. Let's go down a little further. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Why doesn't this just say, for they're wicked and violent? Why does God put that in there? They eat the bread of wickedness. They don't eat the meat of wickedness. They don't eat the grapes of wickedness. They don't eat the hummus of wickedness. They eat the bread of wickedness. Why does he say that? I don't know. And drink the wine of violence. Why does he make this reference of eating and drinking? As he ties together this concept of instruction and wisdom and learning and avoiding evil. Why is that in there? But the path of the just is a shining light. Oh my goodness, now he's bringing in light. Light is good. The just path is light. And he's comparing the path of the just in verse 18 to the path of the evil men in verse 14. The way of the wicked. Now we got the way of the wicked and the path of the just. Now he says, now he's making a reference to the path of the wicked and the way of the wicked. Oh, I almost want to say, can't you keep this straight, Solomon? There's a part of me that wants to say that. Can I just be honest? The way of the wicked is as darkness. Now he's comparing wicked and darkness to just and light. Why are these light and darkness in here? The way of the wicked is of darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Now we're back to this other thing. So we've got light and dark, and eat and drink and sleep. My son, buddy, listen, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to thy sayings. Okay, so now he's speaking. He's asking him to incline his ear. Like, listen. Let them depart not from thine eyes. Oh, my word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Okay, why these physical references to your ears and your eyes, which I can get the ears part. The eyes, I'm going, okay, maybe he read these words, so I can make I can pragmatically make the leap in my brain to where he read this, but keep them in the midst of thine heart. Okay, so this isn't a physical heart now. So he's gone from the physical to the non-physical. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I'm just trying to understand what the scripture says about healthy. And you read Proverbs chapter 4, it drills down to verse 22. And I get there, and I'm more confused than when I started. Clearly, this is physical health. And clearly, chapter all of Proverbs, as you get to this point, and he's in, even as you go beyond, all the way up to verse 10, or chapter 10, it talks about wisdom and instruction and understanding, avoiding wickedness, avoiding the way of evil men. So there's this separation between evil. Then there's the light of something and the evil in the darkness. light of the just path, the path of the just is light. The point that I'm getting to is this verse is in the Bible for a reason. For they are life unto those that find them. By the way, this isn't the difference between the life of a squirrel and the lack of life in a dead squirrel. That's not the life he's talking about here. It's this abundant, enriched life that you can live if you follow this. And part of that is the physical health that comes from this. We often talk about health in our modern society as, and we just casually say, I heard it today, heard it over here today before. Somebody talked about their blood sugar. We talk about our blood pressure and our A1C. We talk about our blood sugar and our cholesterol. We talk about our INR and our liver function tests and our fasting blood glucose and our VO2 max and our BMI and all of these measurements of health. None of those. None of those are mentioned here. None of those are referenced here. None of them even get close to what we think of as healthy. Yet the Bible does talk about a number of things that will contribute to that. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is even our casual discussion of health, even in this building, much less out there, centers around your blood pressure. And I mean, we just can't. Oh man, that guy's driving down the road. Raise my blood pressure. Your blood pressure is supposed to go up and down. Did you know that? It's supposed to. It's built in. When you need more blood, your body figures it out. When you need less, it goes back to wherever it was. When you need more fuel, it accesses it through insulin and blood sugar. And when you don't need more, it kind of puts it away. It knows how to store it, knows how to use it. It already knows how to do all that. And yet we get a number off our labs from the doctor. Oh, my BMR is too, my INH, my pick one, pick any one of them. Ooh, it's too high. I'm at the top of normal. Ooh. What if we just drilled down on the instruction that we're given here? And by the way, I want to go one more step with this. As humans, we have the capacity to learn and understand and gather knowledge and instruction and wisdom far beyond that of every other life form on the planet. And I believe in Proverbs that he isn't just talking about scriptural, biblical, religious instruction. I mean, when Solomon was asked to judge various things and things came to him and he had to make those decisions, and I often talk about the woman that claimed that her child was hers and the other one, no, that's my child. And Solomon's advice was, divide the child in half and give half to each. Yeah. By the way, that's not in Scripture. I mean, the account of that is in Scripture, but that isn't taught in Scripture. So this is advice and wisdom that Solomon had that was extra biblical, if you will, without specific scriptural instruction that Solomon had to give to those people. I don't know if Toyota's better than Nissan, Kenworth's better than Peterbilt, Pepsi, Coke, pick any two things, right? But where there is wisdom to be understood that you can gain to make better decisions in life, those will add to your life. As I was reading through this, I thought about what instruction could I give my son to add length to his life? And just flippantly right off the bat, I could say, don't drive your car at 150 miles an hour. Now, guess what? You can drive your car at 150 miles an hour. You might not die. But you know what happens? The risk goes way, way, way up if you do. That's just normal. That's just instruction. That's just natural worldly instruction and wisdom, which I believe is contained in here. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your health, I also believe that. I also believe that there's wisdom and instruction and understanding about your physical and bodily health that's available to us that will add length of life to you, that will extend your days, and that will bring you peace. If I told you this piece of information that you've long since believed for a whole long about your health is rooted in lies and fiction and propaganda, and I could say that's just not even true, that doesn't even apply, you can stop worrying about that, and here's all the evidence of it. That piece of information, that tiny bit of instruction, if it's, what do you mean I don't have to worry about the young? Can I just say this? I'm going to tell you this right now. Bigfoot's not going to break into your house. There's no evidence that Bigfoot's going to break into your house. There's no document anywhere that anybody has ever been that can be verified that anyone's house has been broken into by Bigfoot. And if you believe that Bigfoot's coming to your house, and I can show you that he isn't, and you believe that, that would bring you peace. Oh my goodness, I can see just a Bigfoot. Oh, some of you would instantly fill it up with something else because you just can't have peace. But this instruction in Proverbs isn't just limited to biblical instruction and biblical wisdom and spiritual understanding, although it certainly contains that. The point I'm trying to make is your physical life isn't, your physical health isn't governed by a whole bunch of numbers off a lab report. Your physical health is determined in verse 22, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And those are the words of the wisest man that's ever lived. And I would encourage you to read through this yourself and see if I'm not sure what. Okay, that really doesn't mean what I thought it meant before. That's all I wanted to get through here tonight, was just to kind of go through this and get to a point and go, maybe that guru on the internet that thinks they're anointed of God to tell me all about my health and I need to drink this or 20 grams of protein. You need your protein from cottage cheese and chicken breasts and hummus. Okay, maybe. But it's rooted in Scripture. And this understanding and wisdom that's presented here in Proverbs isn't just this narrow level of scriptural wisdom that's only in Proverbs. And I firmly believe that when Solomon was writing this, it goes to every aspect of our life, and that we should genuinely pursue, and like the famous Mike Rowe said, can't we just have a modicum of intellectual curiosity, right? Can't we just seek out good instruction, good wisdom, good understanding? And I believe that much of this is driven toward that. But this is a radio show, so next week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into a couple of these points that are obvious in Scripture that I think we can take from. So let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for this time. And I'm just grateful that Solomon, you had him put this all down on paper, so we have it today. I appreciate it, Lord, and I just ask that you'd be with us as we go out tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.